This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
I remember thinking as a kid, if I forgive, God will love me more. That's how I used to think. I consider myself a easily forgiving person. And I think it's something to do with the Pisces as well, my horoscope sign. We're known for, you know, forgiving easier than other people. Like if you do something to me and I'm super upset, but then a few days later you come back and you talk to me, you're nice to me and you say, I'm sorry, I'm going to forgive you.
From Headspace Studios, this is The Gift of Forgiveness, a podcast filled with inspiring stories from those who've overcome the unforgivable. Today, I'm super excited to share a conversation I had with my friend, Camilla Coelho. Camilla is a pioneer in the digital beauty and fashion world. Her YouTube videos became wildly popular after she launched her first channel in 2010. Within just a few years, she became a full-time beauty and fashion influencer. And today, she's an entrepreneur and advocate with a combined following of over 12 million people across all her platforms. Plus, she has her own namesake label, the Camilla Coelho Collection. Let's go back to the beginning, because I think, you know, obviously you are incredibly successful in so many areas. Camilla grew up in Virginopolis, Brazil, and moved to Pennsylvania when she was just 14 years old after her parents' divorce. Her mom had a vision for Camilla's life in America.
I moved to the United States. I was 14 years old with my family. And seeing my mom work so hard after a divorce really inspired me to be independent early. And I remember still in high school, instead of like doing the cheerleading, which I wanted to do after school, I decided to just get a part-time job. And I was a very geek student. I was an honor roll student like throughout my whole high school years.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
And, yeah. And I, you know, when it was time for me to apply for college, and I told my mom I didn't want to apply for college right away. I felt like I knew I wanted to go to school. I knew I wanted it. I loved school, but I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, which, Catherine, you know, it's so hard for you at 18, 17 to know what you actually want to do. I told my mom, I was like, Mom, I really need like at least 6 months. I need to figure it out before I apply for college. And she, of course, was so upset. And she was like, Camilla, you can't do this. Like, just go to college. And if you don't love what you're doing, you change. And I said, Mom, please, like, you have to believe me. And I looked her in the eye and I said, I promise you that I will make you proud. This decision really impacted my whole life. The decision that I made when I was 17. I finished high school. I moved to Boston where I had an aunt and I lived with my aunt for a month. And then I got my own apartment. It was during that time that I just found a regular job. I was like, I just need a job, right? And I started working at a counter, makeup counter, at a department store, Christian Dior makeup. I was a salesperson. I hated the retail hours, but one thing that I loved was the fact that I was working with people and seeing people's reactions and moods. And some people come in stressed, other people come in nice and friendly. But a lot of those people who came in feeling down or stressed, and I helped them somehow, even by just like recommending them a lipstick color that would go well with their skin tone, they left so happy. And that was what really impacted me. And I knew, I've always knew I loved beauty, but that little experience at the counter made me realize how much I loved beauty and how much I wanted to be in that business. I became a makeup artist, and it was during my makeup artist years that I found YouTube.
Olá meninas, tudo bem? Tô aqui de novo com vocês hoje para mostrar como eu faço a minha sobrancelha. Finalmente, né? Tem muitas meninas me pedindo.
That's tape from one of Camila's earliest makeup tutorial videos. She posts her videos in both English and Portuguese.
Nobody knew that YouTube could become even a job one day, right? So it was completely a hobby. So I started doing it. I had so much fun doing it. And I remember getting like so much engagement in the beginning, and I was shocked. I really thought I was going to do this just for my friends and family. And then things really started taking off. After I created my blog, I started, you know, okay, this is becoming a business. And I remember it was so funny, like, I didn't expect anything from it. My goal always is to inspire people in a positive way and to, you know, share my life as well and my struggles and things I go through. But yeah, this is how I started.
Camila continued to post beauty tutorial videos, still not knowing where it would lead her. But through all of that, she would visualize herself staying true to her goals of wanting to be a positive inspiration for her viewers. She had big dreams for herself. Even when she was just starting out, she always had the motivation to grow and become successful.
When I had my dreams and my things I wanted to accomplish, it was so important to me that I believed in myself. And I feel like this is something that everyone should do. If you have a dream, sometimes we think, oh my gosh, this is too big of a dream, or this is never going to happen. When you want to do something, you need to tell yourself that. You need to look in the mirror and say, I am going to accomplish this. I suggest that you write that down as well. And that you believe that you're going to achieve it. Because if you say it, but in your heart, you don't believe it's going to happen, it is not going to happen. And so all my life, I was like that. I've learned to be like that. And I've learned how powerful our words are.
And I think that's a huge part of why people love following you, is because not only are you this, you know, bright ray of light all the time and bubbly and positive, but also because there is real passion behind everything that you do. You work incredibly hard, put in so much time, energy, and also a huge amount of patience to get to the place that you're at today. And I think that that's important for young women and men to hear that this isn't something that happens, you know, overnight, that you don't wake up one day and say like, oh, I'm going to start doing videos, and it just happens to turn into this huge career, that this is a long time coming for you, that you've put in a huge amount of work to get to where you are today, I think is something to highlight for sure.
It's, you know, I've had to, with every little accomplishment, I've had to maybe give something away. Like even in the beginning, when I was doing just YouTube for fun, I missed some weekends with my friends because I just wanted to do the videos. And during the week, I was working as a makeup artist. And, you know, throughout my whole career, it was never easy. And I had to be patient. I had to be focused. And I had to work hard to get to that point. And so definitely a lot of effort. You're going to have to work a lot. You're going to have days that you're so stressed and busy, but you need to be focused and you need to have patience, but always make sure that you are happy as well. And you know what you want.
And I wonder how you stay emotionally authentic, having the platform that you have, knowing what your followers like from you, and not feeling pressured to not show who you are, not talk about certain challenges that you're facing, and still, you know, keep the engagement of people, but also stay true to who you are.
So I feel like whoever is open, you know, I'm a public figure, and I feel like you are going to feel pressured a lot of times because you're sharing your life, and there are things that I've always loved to share about my personal things as well. And I, for me, it was very important to share when I'm feeling down and when I'm not feeling happy, because especially with the new generation now that's so heavy on social media, people look at, I always say that Instagram is a filter of everyone's perfect lives, right? Mm-hmm. But there's no such thing as a perfect life. Everyone struggles, everyone has insecurities, and no one is perfect. It is very important to me to let this out and tell people so that they feel like, okay, my life is normal too. And when I share those moments with my followers, I get such amazing feedback, and I get to read so many stories of people who are truly struggling. And I tell them sometimes too, like, if you're having a bad day, don't look at social media. Like, do other things. Talk to your family. Do something you love. Forget about social media.
Camilla takes the responsibility of being a public figure very seriously. Part of that responsibility means staying as open and authentic as possible, sharing even the things she's insecure about on her social media. Her hope is that by sharing her journey, it might help her followers feel less alone in theirs. Earlier this year, Camilla opened up about having epilepsy, a condition she grew up hiding.
Mm-hmm. I developed epilepsy when I was 9 years old, and I never shared it with anyone besides my family. It was something that I developed when I was nine, and my mom always told me when I was young, Camilla, you don't need to tell anyone because you are a normal girl. You're living a normal life. And all I had to do was take medicine every night. There's different types of epilepsy and different levels of epilepsy as well. But there is more than 65 million people in the world develop epilepsy throughout their lives. It's a lot of us, but you don't hear people saying I have epilepsy, because it's something that a lot of us are ashamed of. And from back in the day too, like, people used to think that whoever had epilepsy, they were a little crazy or they're not normal, but that's not true. And after so many years and after struggling with it myself, I didn't accept it when I was a teenager. I felt different. I felt like I didn't belong, and I felt like I shouldn't take a medicine every night, until I realized that I was blessed. You know, I was blessed to be able to take just one little pill every night and be okay. So I started to, instead of complaining and feeling different, I started to feel grateful. So I shared my epilepsy story with my followers. It was hard for me, I have to say. It wasn't easy because I just kept it to myself for so many years. But it was something that I've always wanted to share. And I shared it in February, which is Epilepsy Month. And I remember I gave an interview about it as well. And it was the first time that I was actually speaking to someone besides my family about it. So it was also a way for me to tell people, like, whatever you're struggling with, like, put it out, say it. And it has helped me so much, Catherine, the amount of messages and stories that I got from people that I know that have a sister or a friend that have epilepsy and they struggle with, and the amount of people who came out as well during that week that I came out was incredible.
That's amazing. What made you want to actually finally, you know, decide to share it publicly?
If you have epilepsy and you take a medicine, right? And if you want to get pregnant, you can either get pregnant on medicine or without the medicine. But either or, you have high risks. If you're on medicine, you have a risk of having an abnormal pregnancy. And if you're off medicine, your baby will probably be okay, but if you have a seizure while you're pregnant, you can lose your baby. And this could be like with 6 months pregnant. So it's something that it's so scary. I couldn't make a decision. So by sharing this, I heard so many stories of women who have epilepsy and that got pregnant, have three kids, and they're all healthy. And I feel like when you share your struggles, you end up getting something positive out of it.
We're going to take a quick break, but before we do, this series is produced by Headspace Studios. Headspace has thousands of hours of meditation, mindfulness, movement, and sleep content. The best tool you have is your mind, so take care of it. Learn more at headspace.com. After sharing her story, Camilla became an ambassador and board member for the Epilepsy Foundation of America. Her openness and vulnerability inspire me, which is why I asked Camilla to join me on this podcast. She was finally ready to open up about her journey with forgiveness.
When you and I talked recently, we, you know, had an amazing conversation about forgiveness. You know, I want other people to hear your story with forgiveness because I think, you know, we touched on how you grew up Catholic. I also grew up Catholic. And I think you learn a lot about forgiveness from a very early age from going to church and just having the religion in your family. And so I kind of want to go back to the beginning of your forgiveness journey. Just when you started learning about forgiveness, was that something that you learned about when going to church, or was it just a big part of your family that kind of created this in you to be considered an easily forgiving person?
By going to church, I've learned that, you know, when you forgive, like I remember thinking as a kid, if I forgive, God will love me more. That's how I used to think. I've always, in growing up, I've always believed that you should always forgive. If somebody asks you for forgiveness, you should definitely forgive. But I also learned that sometimes people don't need to ask you for forgiveness. You can just forgive that person without them even knowing you're forgiving them, because that will do you very good as well. And I've like I told you in that day, I consider myself a easily forgiving person, and I think it's something to do with the Pisces as well, my horoscope sign. We're known for, you know, forgiving easier than other people, but I was never a person who held a grudge. Like if you do something to me and I'm super upset, but then a few days later you come back and you talk to me, you're nice to me and you say, I'm sorry, I'm going to forgive you. And I've always been like that. You know, growing up, I never thought that I was going to deal with forgiveness in such a strong way and in such a challenging way as well. I've always had an amazing dad. I have so many amazing memories of him and us with my siblings. But when my parents got divorced, unfortunately, my dad was no longer that amazing dad that he was. And he started doing things that really hurt us, not just myself and my siblings, but also my mom. We were struggling with that relationship for a long time. But it was like a back and forth thing, you know, we'll get upset, we'll get back together. And it was just a back and forth. I was always forgiving my dad for something. So I was practicing forgiveness today, looking at it. I didn't realize then, but I was practicing forgiveness. And I'm sure my siblings too, we were practicing forgiveness on our everyday. Because it was my dad, it was my family, and I couldn't not forgive him. Right. And I couldn't not like not talk to him. But it came to a point when and this is when really things fell apart. I got married when I was only 23. I've been with my husband we've been married. It's going to be 10 years this year. And my dad had a good relationship with my husband. So it wasn't a problem there. And he accepted it and everything. My dad decided not to go to my wedding, and I had to walk down the aisle with my brother, and that was the day when I needed my dad the most, and he wasn't there. And imagine, I'm a girl who, again, I'm a Pisces, and I'm a girl who like dreams, right? I have like, I imagine things in my mind. And when I thought about my wedding, the first thing I imagined, the beginning of my wedding, was myself and my dad walking down the aisle. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have that. And I remember it was such an emotional day for me. My wedding was, wow, I was happy that I was getting married to the love of my life, but that was, it was so difficult for me to go through that night. It was difficult for my whole family. But then after my wedding, I was broken. I thought I could never forgive my dad. I thought about him and I'll have like, I can say, yeah, I'll have hate in my heart. And I would think, what, how could he do this to me when I needed him the most? And it was really hard. I struggled for a year. I really struggled until I realized that, and during this time, I lost contact with my dad. He never said, I'm sorry. And I feel like he thought he was doing the right thing. And this decision was because of my mom, or I don't know, but he thought he was doing the right thing. So he never said, I am sorry. I would keep getting like this hate feeling inside of me. And I remember this one day I sat down in my bed and I was like, I can't keep having this feeling inside my heart. I cannot like live like this. I want to forgive my dad. But then I would think about him and I would think about the situation and in my mind I'd be like, how can I forgive him and live with him? Do I have to forgive and if it doesn't mean if I forgive him, I have to like live with him again, because I feel if I do, I'll keep getting hurt and I don't want to get hurt anymore. I started practicing that forgiveness and talking to myself every single day. Like I and try to understand the situation and trying to, you know, say like, okay, maybe, you know, maybe he thinks he's right. And, you know, maybe he does love me. And there's so many feelings that go inside your heart and your mind when you're trying to forgive. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, thank God, God really helped me to finally forgive him. And I remember a day when I had a full conversation about my dad with my husband, and I had no hate in my heart. I thought of him and I thought of him wishing him good. And I remember laying in bed, and instead of thinking him with hate, I would pray for him. And wow. I made a decision. I was finally able to forgive, but I did not want to have a relationship with him.
And how long after was that?
I would say the full, I think it was after like a year and a half that I was fully recovered. It felt like a really long time for me, but I know people, you know, some people take 10 years to forgive, but
right.
It took me this 1 year, 1 year and a half felt like 5-10 years for me, because I was really struggling. Yeah. And because I knew I was a person who forgave easy, right? And
right.
I was finally able to forgive, and I thought of him with, you know, without hate, and I wish him the best, but I knew I didn't want to have a relationship back with him. And I knew if I also wanted something back with him, I would have to call him and say, Dad, I forgive you. And I'm not going to lie to you. A lot of days I thought of doing that. Should I call him? Am I doing the right thing? Mm-hmm. I know I forgave him, but is God looking at me and saying, you're still wrong because you're not calling him and saying, okay, I forgive you. He doesn't know that I forgave him. Like, am I doing the right thing? But I made this decision, and this was also a part where it's like the second part of my forgiving story, which I had to forgive myself for this, mm-hmm. for this decision that I made. I forgave him, but I made a decision that I didn't want to live with him because I didn't want to get hurt again. And then I had to forgive myself for not wanting to live with him. It was a process where it took me a while to be okay with that. Okay, I'm okay not contacting him. Do you understand, Catherine? It's
yes, of course.
It's confusing, but I had to forgive myself. And once mm-hmm. I forgave myself for that, I lived more, I had a lighter like life. And I was like, okay, I think this is right. After a while, after so many years, after almost 10 years, he realized that he was wrong and the things he did were really hurtful and that we were hurt from it. But we all forgave him and today we have a relationship. But it wasn't easy. But me forgiving him myself without even talking to him was so important to me. It helped me much more than it helped him because he didn't even know it. But right. I had to forgive for myself and to live a good life, and or else I will go into depression. I don't know what would have happened if I didn't forgive him, but it was really important for me, that act of forgiveness back then.
And I think so many people relate to having really challenging family relationships where their forgiveness muscle and forgiveness ability is challenged constantly. And, you know, one of the big takeaways that I always talk about when doing my book was this idea that, you know, you don't have to wait for someone to come and call you and say, please forgive me in order to start mm-hmm. your forgiveness journey, that you can make the decision to take your power back and control of your own life and really decide to practice forgiveness. They, you know, like your father did, if they come to you several years later and ask for forgiveness, that's a beautiful thing that can happen. Mm-hmm. And it's such an amazing experience. But also there are so many people that that does not happen to, and that's okay. And it's all yeah. about your choice yeah. to forgive and your decision to no longer want this hate for your father yeah. in your life, and that you want to love him from a distance and pray for him and have, you know, a happy, healthy, mm-hmm. you know, feeling towards him, but you don't want him in your life. You need to reestablish what a healthy relationship is with your dad after going through your forgiveness journey, which I think makes for a healthier relationship.
Exactly. If he still, if until this day, he didn't come to us and ask for forgiveness, I will be okay because I practiced that forgiveness. I forgive him. I forgive myself for also making this decision of not reaching out to him. But I believe if he, you know, as time goes by, you start realizing what, after you forgive, you start realizing that life is so short and that, you know, Catherine, to tell you the truth, I didn't tell you this like on when we last talked, but I think if my dad didn't come to me, I would probably go to him. It doesn't mean I would do it this year or next year, but I think I would. And because I was able to forgive, you know?
Forgiving family can be especially difficult. They're the ones we love the most, and whenever we're hurt by people we hold close to our hearts, the cut is deeper. Sometimes it's impossible to move on from.
Whether you have forgiveness challenges with your parents or not, you know, as you get married, as you get older, as you have kids, as your family grows, your relationships are bound to change with your parents as well. So, I mean, I think it's a beautiful thing that your dad came to you and asked for forgiveness. And I'm sure that forgiveness journey will continue and develop as, you know, your family grows and as your life grows, and his role in your life also will change. Mm-hmm. So I think that that'll be an interesting experience. I want to go back to, because you talk a lot about self-forgiveness, which is a huge theme that comes up in so many conversations that I've had around mm-hmm. the book and just, you know, forgiveness in general. And it's, you know, oftentimes people will say that self-forgiveness is oftentimes the most challenging because you have to be brutally honest with yourself. You have to look at yourself, flaws and all, and just be very open about the role that you played in certain situations, holding yourself accountable. And it's a lot of the times something that people can't bear to do because it is so challenging. You mentioned self-forgiveness, and I'm interested to have you talk a little bit about your self-forgiveness journey in that.
I was sure that I was doing the right thing. But then I wasn't sure, actually. I kept thinking I was doing the right thing, thinking of this theory of mine. And I was so scared that if we went back to our normal relationship, that I said I forgive him and everything, and I would keep getting hurt again, and they would ruin all of that process that I went through of forgiveness. And thinking of that, I was sure that I was doing the right thing. But then I wasn't sure, actually. I kept thinking I was doing the right thing, thinking of this theory of mine, but it was a process of telling myself every day, okay, this is why I'm not going back to him. This is why I'm not calling him and saying I forgave him. This is why. It's because I want to keep this feeling in my heart. It helped me to self-forgive and to finally feel like, okay, I did the right thing. I'm doing the right thing. And it's okay.
I know that you have a good relationship with your dad now that, you know, he's in your life. Do you ever have moments where you feel triggered by certain behaviors from him or certain situations that you, you know, get upset about or feels like takes you back to times of being hurt by your dad, or are those completely gone?
You know, Catherine, this is very recent, and it's funny because your book came out and it was like 4 months after my dad reached out, which is crazy.
And also very, very fresh.
So it's very fresh. And I am, you know, we talk mostly like on the phone with through like voice messages. And I am a lot of times still resident. How do you say it?
Hesitant. Yeah.
To maybe say some things, or I'm scared of his response sometimes, you know, and I feel like because he's doing therapy and he knows like everything that he did and he accepts, he owns it. He's been amazing, but it does scare me sometimes to, you know, to have this relationship and one day getting ruined. I don't want that to happen. So it does scare me. So I'm taking it very slow and with a lot of caution. And I wanted to stay this way. And I think we still have so much to learn together and go back to, even like, you know, a hug or like, because I'm a person who's, you know, with my mom, when I'm with my mom and my siblings, they call me Little Gum because I'm very sticky. I'm always hugging and I'm always like kissing, and I'm like, I'm that person. And I feel like that's going to take a while with my dad, and that is normal. And I accept that. It was, you know, it was so many years, 10 years without that relationship. So I know maybe it will come back to normal, but it's going to take time. So I'm being cautious. I'm taking it slow, but time will say, you know, when it's the right time for things to change. And I accept that.
Taking space from someone who's hurt you shouldn't be confused with unforgiveness. It can be super important to take that time apart, to feel safe, and to figure out what your boundaries are. And when that person's family, taking space can be extra challenging, especially when both parties don't agree to that space. As Camilla's story shows, taking time apart from her father was exactly what their relationship needed. Doing this allowed Camilla to embark on her own forgiveness journey and take time to reevaluate what kind of relationship, if any, she wanted with her father moving forward. Now, Camilla is able to have a new kind of relationship with her father, one with new rules, new expectations, and new boundaries.
I think it's also, I think it's beautiful that you're so accepting of it and also taking it one day at a time, and also being very open and honest about, you know, there being fear when it comes to welcoming somebody who caused you pain and hurt back into your life, because that is an incredibly scary thing to do. It requires a huge amount of bravery and courage and honesty. And also, it sounds like what you're doing, which is, you know, really healthy, is, you know, having your dad back in your life in a different relationship than what it previously was, and understanding that, you know, you want to have your father back in your life, of course, because he's your father, and, you know, what your guys' relationship will be today and in the future will be different than what it looked like 10 years ago. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And when your book came out, I really wanted to read it because of my forgiveness story and things I had to go through. And your story, your book inspired me so much in many different ways. And it made me realize as well, so many other things about facts about forgiveness that I didn't even think about. And it also made me realize that I did the right thing when I mm-hmm. forgave my dad. You always, no. I don't know, you calm me down when I'm speaking about my struggles, and it's something, Catherine.
You're doing the right thing for sure, talking about forgiveness. Thank you so much for having me. Oh, amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time. Bye.
Of course. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode, and thank you to Camilla for sharing your incredible and really open forgiveness journey. To learn more about Camilla, check out her Instagram at Camilla Coelho. The Headspace app has thousands of hours of mindfulness content for you, including meditations on forgiveness, grief, noting, and more. Download it today and try it for free. The Gift of Forgiveness is hosted and executive produced by me, Catherine Schwarzenegger Pratt. You can find my book, also called The Gift of Forgiveness, wherever books are sold. This episode was produced by Monique Laborde and Otis Gray. Sound design by Dan Kroll. From Headspace Studios, the executive producers are Leah Sutherland, Morgan Selzer, and Sam Rogaway. This podcast is produced in partnership with Cadence 13.